Hey, welcome everyone to season two of the Jonathan Project, where iron is trying to sharpen iron. And welcome to, again, the Jonathan Project. We've been excited. We did season one, which was 10 episodes. And our purpose here is just simple. We're trying to help men navigate the complex times that we're living in. And we take the biblical Jonathan's example of loyalty and faith to his friends as the inspiration for this podcast. So welcome to season two, Jason. I'm glad to see you. Let's catch up a little bit here.
No, it's good to see you too. I love that. I love that it's iron sharpening iron.
Yes, sir.
The Bible doesn't say which one is sharp. Though I think that's important for Christian men and Christian, just Christians together to get together and fellowship and work through things. Now, how have you been, man? How's it been going?
Well, so the 2 weeks off, it was pretty good. We took a little vacation, which was really nice. We got to catch up with my sister, spend time with the kiddos. We had a blast. The hurricane that came through Florida kind of delayed us getting back by a couple of days. So that was always fun being cooped up in a hotel room a little longer than we wanted. And then really this last week, been just trying to get ready for season two here. So here we are.
No, I gotcha. Same here, getting the kids off to school and man, started a new business.
Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, it's, as you know, I'm a graduate of Liberty University, training champions for Christ. I love that. So
yeah,
with a degree in organizational psychology, and it's about helping Christian businesses through Christian organizations. You know,
okay.
The church is the Christian business. Just like, you know, because they deal with Christianity, with soul, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they are the Christian business, but I do love helping Christian organizations. You can check it out at 18seriesdesign.com, and it's on LinkedIn as well. So work my way through that technical jungle.
Yeah.
For a kid who plays outside a lot or did play outside a lot. Setting up a website is kind of crazy.
No, trust me. I've done it. I've been there, done that, lived that experience. So I'm excited for you there, brother. Like, you know, and anyone that has a business out there, you most definitely could, you know, leverage Jason's experience, you know, from a faith perspective, but also just a practical leadership experience from, you know, many, many years of serving in the military at a high level. So I'm excited for our first kickoff episode here, and it's a good transition from military experience to what the Lord has called us to do specifically as men. So we're talking about what's in your rucksack. You've heard us talking about quite a bit in season one. It's kind of our thing, and now we're gonna tee off season two with exploring that. So Jason, you wanna start us off on what's in your rucksack?
Yeah. So I was discussing this last night with our number one fan and also the lady that gives me the feedback. And she goes, "What do you mean by rucksack?"
Oh.
And so I said, "Well, it's not like it's more than a backpack."
Yeah. Right?
So that for people who don't know, it was a coin that was termed from a soldier back in the Vietnam era.
Yeah.
Possibly further back.
But yeah.
I think back to what I went to training with, and it was the old Alice pack. Remember those?
Vaguely.
That's horrible. I still have mine. It was a massive backpack that was designed in the Vietnam era.
Yeah.
It was super lightweight, but as with my background, it was my house. It was everything I carried with me for the entire trip.
Sure.
Right? So it had to have your essentials in it, but it also had to be minimalistic, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we need to talk about, is what's essential and what's not.
Yeah.
You know, during selection, it was pretty simple. It was 80 pounds and you carried it and you went with it everywhere you went.
Yeah.
So,
you know, no, for me, it was a little bit different the way I started my Army career out as a armored, a reconnaissance kind of scout, and then into the heavy tanks themselves. You know, the ruck was something that was, yeah, it was a part of it, but I like the way that I'll just summarize it from an Army perspective was, you know, the ruck is to get essential equipment or tools to complete a mission, right? And whether you're carrying on your back or it's on a part of another piece of kit on a maneuver piece of equipment, either way, that's what it's there for. Now, from a biblical stance, the way that, you know, I studied out preparing for this episode, really, we're to lay everything on the cross. And there's a reason why Jesus very bluntly and pointedly says is pick up your cross and follow me. You know, there are some things that we as men especially put on our backs, we carry around that we were never intended to do. Now, picking up the cross, most definitely. And that is a heavy weight to carry within itself, because it's going to mean sacrificing and dying to yourself. But there's some principles that we're going to talk to and explore out of here of really what should it look like when I say I'm carrying something around in my rucksack. What am I carrying and what is the purpose, right? Getting back to what we just said, what's the mission? And for Christians, the mission is to go out and make disciples of the whole world and to love those around you, right? So that's kind of what I thought about, my kind of initial thoughts on today's episode, Jason.
Well, you know, every time I think of what goes in my rucksack, what do I carry around with me daily to get things done? It has to have a purpose. And you can't be fooled by what things are and what they should be. You know, I always think back years ago, we had this guy, and I'll just tell you this funny story. You had to do a layout before you began. I was in one of those classes where I got to do the Star Land Nav during selection and during the patrolling phase as well. So we get ready, we do our layout, and there they say, okay, hold your toothbrush up. Never forget it. The guy was beside me, and he holds up a toothbrush, but it's only the bristles are by his thumb, you know? And the cadre just beelines to him like sharks in the water. They're on it. And the guy goes, give me the toothbrush. And he hands him this little toothbrush. It's just the bristles. And he goes, wow. Oh, that's funny. I'll be right back. Goes and gets this rock. And the rocks, it's huge. You can see on the video here. It's massive, yeah. Right? The cadre tells him to hold it. It's got to be 30 pounds, 30, 40 pounds. And goes, signs his name on it with a Sharpie and writes toothbrush. And he goes, there you go. Carry that with you. Needless to say, that guy wasn't there in the end. But what I did learn from that was be careful what you put in there. You're not going to get to your end of your destination.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, when I talk about rucksack, when I think about it, I think about what is essential. What do you have to have?
Yeah.
You know, by the way, I had my 1930s coffee pot working again this morning.
Well, no, I like that, because I think, especially as men, we can too often think that there are certain things that we need to carry around, whether it's I need to have a certain kind of job because that's going to provide a certain kind of lifestyle for me, or I need to have a certain kind of title, as we talked about in season one, or I need to live in a certain place. We often associate the wrong things as being essential and what's needed versus what the Lord wants us to kind of see as being essential, you know, and we do carry some burdens, you know, there's family, there's, you know, work pressures and all these kind of different things, but we need to be able to understand where to place that burden, right? How to disperse that load. And it's really kind of a thing with a rucksack. If you ever carry one on your back, you know this, it disperses the load. It takes a little bit of pressure off of you. And that's what the cross does. It does put a different kind of weight on you, meaning that you're called to live to a certain kind of moral standard. You're called to live and have relationships in a different kind of way. But it's dispersing those other things, right? Those things that we think are priorities. He says, bring those to me. And I like to call them burdens, because as he says, you know, in Matthew 11:28, you know, come to me all who are labor and have a heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Right. So many of us as guys, we know this, we work ourselves into an early grave, or we work ourselves into health problems or mental health problems, because we're carrying around stuff you were never designed to do. You need to be able to put on that cross, the rucksack for a believer, and give it to him and disperse that load. So, you know, I just want to encourage you to think about it as a team effort with Jesus, you know.
No, it absolutely is. You know, when you think about what goes in your rucksack and what you have, I think as you share that load, Jesus, you need to make sure you've got those essentials, right? And look to Jesus for it, right? Look to the Bible, look to Scripture. It's extremely interesting to me that in today's society, we're inundated with information. Everybody has an opinion on, look, this is my top five of pick the fitness injury or injury, fitness industry. And if you get it wrong, you will have an injury. But if you do, everybody has this magic formula, right? And you wind up with choice overload. I was reading a psychology journal here earlier this morning, and it talked a lot about, you know, traditionally economic and psychology theorists believe that giving people choices was a good thing. What we've come to realize is that too many choices just actually does the contradictory of that. They did this study, this guy Park and Jang, and basically it said that when people had so many choices, they made no choice at all. And think about it from a Christian standpoint. You know, when we overload people, people are like, man, I don't know which direction to go. I don't know whose advice to listen to and so forth. And when they actually had less choices, people had less buyer's regret in this economic stuff. I think as Christians, we have to keep it pretty simple when we get things in our rucksack. Stick to the scripture. Everybody has past baggage. You just do. Life's a long battle, and you acquire a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, as we pick up our cross daily and we pick up this rucksack and move forward, what is it that we retain inside of it? What is it that we get rid of? Right?
Yeah.
And you're going to have those things. You're going to have past hurts that will come up. But those, you got to be careful about how much room they occupy in your rucksack.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I heard the Bible, I've heard it say, forgive and forget. And I thought about that a lot. And in scripture, I hear a lot, I read a lot more about forgiveness. You know, it's like, and it really dawned on me in church last Sunday when I was reading. And when Jesus, after he had died, he appeared, and Thomas is sitting there, and he says, hey, Thomas, why don't you put your hands in my scars? So we're going to keep these scars. We're going to keep these memories.
Yeah.
Those should not be the defining things for us as far as the limitations. When you talk about what goes in your rucksack, think about what pushes you forward for the operation to help the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Think about that as part of it. I thought a lot about bread and water. You know, the Bible talks a lot about that, you know, food and water.
Sure.
Being, of course, the Word and the Holy Spirit, right? Hey, that's important.
Yeah.
How do you start your day?
Yeah.
What goes in your rucksack first is pretty important.
Yeah.
I won't lie to you. From carrying one for all those years, how you packed it and what goes in it first really determined how pleasant that trip was.
Yeah, I bet. You know, as I think about it, you know, what does it mean to take up a cross? Again, what I'm describing the cross as the Christian man's, you know, kind of rucksack, because that's where we're to nail and to place all those burdens, right? Those things that, you know, we carry around. I got it from those different responsibilities that we have, but we need to share that load with Christ. And really, it's not a half-hearted kind of thing, you know. Especially in the world that you operated in, where you're carrying around a rucksack, when you put that on, it's business time, right? Like, it's everything that you need to fight, equipped to survive, is all there with you. And it's no different. When you choose to take up that cross, it's a full-on surrender. You're yielding your life, and you're submitting to being under the discipline and the headship of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, you're saying that you're being crucified with him, right? And that might mean there might be a little shame, resentment, different things that come along when you put on that rucksack, just as much as we talked about in the world that Jason comes out of. You know, everybody wants to be special until it's time to do something special. Well, you know, it's easy to say I'm taking up and putting on my cross until it's time to actually weigh that out and what that means, right? And so I want to make sure that, you know, as we have the discussion of what's in your rucksack, and as you hear us moving forward when we talk about that, understand what we're saying is what are you bringing to the Lord? What are you asking him to help carry for you? What are you prioritizing? Because that's going to shift and change at different times. But the central thing, that rucksack, should always be at the cross. And I really think that it gets into, you know, a simple way to think about it for us. So one of the things that really needs to be in there comes from Micah 6:8. And I'm going to give you a little quick personal story out of this that happened this week, because it was a rough week. In Micah 6:8, he talks about three kind of things: to do justice. He talks about loving others around us, which is the second commandment that we're given as believers in general, after loving God with all our heart, minds, and souls. And then he also asks us to walk humbly with the Lord. If you look at that, those are essential kinds of things, essential kinds of perspectives as you're bearing your cross, as you're putting on your rucksack to kind of think about. So let's talk about due justice, because I actually saw this play out in my life this past week. In my role, you know, I'm asked to kind of lead people. And in that, I've always taken up this thing where I try to help and to make sure that those that I'm in charge of are not being taken advantage of. Well, I had this situation where I had this person in authority who was mistreating people. And so as a Christian man and as the leader that I was trained to be, and it comes out of my military experience and the way that I was raised growing up, you know, I had to stand in the gap and to execute justice, which from the biblical sense is standing in the gap for the vulnerable, right? That is a burden, if you will, something that's in my rucksack to kind of to keep it on theme. But that's important, right? And I had to have a very hard, difficult conversation with this person who's in authority and say, hey, this is not going to stand. You can't make people feel less than just because you have a certain degree on the wall or you make a certain amount of money every 2 weeks. That doesn't mean that people don't have a value. I translate that to all of us as men and challenge you is to think about that. When you look around the world around you, you know, things that are going wrong, as we said in some previous episodes in season one, you can point it back to men not being men and not standing in the gap and doing justice, right? And it's not this vigilante kind of thing where it's your sense of justice, it's biblical. What is pointing back to the truth that is a living person, which is Jesus Christ, and how we go about helping those around us in the world, loving those around us and walking with him. But I'll give it to you, Jason, but that's just some thoughts on what it means to carry that cross.
I hate that somebody's mistreating people. That happens all too often. You know,
yeah,
it really does. But, you know, like you said, when you talked about taking up the cross, and what was kind of running through my mind is, you know, that was heavy. A rucksack is extremely heavy. Jesus had his cross on there for our salvation. That was his number one mission. If you ever listen, if you ever read the Bible and you listen to the words of Christ and he talks about it, he goes, hey, I've got to go to this crucifixion. But then comes resurrection. It's always what comes after.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he picked it up, it's absolutely heavy. It's painful. Same thing with a rucksack. Look, if you've ever carried one of those for extended periods of time, it is absolutely painful. It just is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's there for a purpose, and you have to do it. So as followers of Christ, what goes in our rucksack, what goes on our backs that we carry every day, it's a physical act. You know, it's not what's thrust upon you, but it is what you pick up, what you physically pick up. Trust me, from a man who, if he got a break with one of those things and he sat down, we did the rucksack flop where you just, basically, that's what you did. You just flopped on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You took a break. When you had to stand back up with it, it's effort, right? The rucksack didn't get itself back up. So as Christians, you take that, like you did, stand in the gap. It's an effort. It's going to cost me.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, how do you know you got the right tools inside of it to move forward? You know, and I thought about all the things that go in there. And of course, we've got the armor of God, which is extremely important. I will tell you this. What I love on there is the belt of truth. As I've gotten older, a belt is an important thing, right? And here's why, okay? I've come to realize that we have tactical belts that are meant to hold things up. And they're extremely valuable, but they have to be durable, right?
Yeah.
And it says the belt of truth. And I love that. As Christians, we have to be valiant for the truth. Yeah. When you look at what is truth, truth is what lasts. Truth is a constant.
Yeah.
You know, man, that's it. Truth's a constant.
Yeah.
Jesus gives certain principles throughout scripture, and those last for forever.
Yeah.
It's written, it's in there. You got to have the shield of faith. I love that because it takes effort. It takes effort to hold up a shield. I've never held one up in, you know, other than just playing as a kid, you know, and things like that. But it takes effort to hold one up because something is attacking you.
Yeah.
And when you are attacked, and I love this, especially when it comes to organizations, I gave this counsel one time to a commander, and I said, look, it takes an active effort to give people benefit of the doubt. That's not a character flaw.
Sure.
That is just human psychology.
Yeah.
And same thing when you go, hey, this thing is happening or this is happening. the Bible says, you know, it's very clear. God says, I have a plan. This is all shaping you for eternity or for something in the future. And that's important, right? The breastplate of righteousness. I love that right there. Is we have become very accustomed to body armor in today's society, especially in the military.
Yeah.
That righteousness is how you survive. Yeah. Right. So all those things, as we take up this cross daily and we go, hey, I'm going to put in the essentials, and Jesus outlined. I love this. The scripture outlines those essentials. Don't get overloaded with choices. Stick to what scripture says. I loved the reason, and I always say, hey, graduate of Liberty, and I'm super proud of it. I had the dean of that, Dr. Theory, when I first started, she says, look, in your research, you are going to run across where science and scripture contradict. She goes, when you do, stick with scripture. Science will work its way back around. At that point, I was like, yep, I'm 100% sold on Liberty being where I go to school. Same thing with your cross and how you deal with things, with what you put in your rucksack. You know, the old big Alice pack, it was large, and we figured out really early on the problem was is how to keep other people from sticking stuff in it. You know, always pack as light as you can. So keep with the essentials. Okay? Yeah. Pack it in there right and make it happen. So
yeah. No, that's good, Jason. And, you know, really just to encourage men, you know, along the same ways, because you said some good things from putting on the spiritual armor, right? If you think about it, every day you're in a tactical operation, right? From a military perspective for a second, there's an adversary waiting right outside your door, sometimes right inside your house, ready to go to war with you. And if you don't arm yourself, right, putting the word into you where it can meditate and you can draw upon it from your heart, being your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, and you're surrendering and controlling them to the Lord first and foremost, you've already lost. You've already taken 3 shots to the face and you don't even know it yet, right? The second part is putting on that helmet of salvation, right? The breastplate of righteousness, right? Taking up your sword, which is your word, right? You start your day geared up for the mission ahead of you, right? Putting on what is important, right? And placing what is not, or what is a lesser priority, or something that you can share with the Lord, throw it into that proverbial rucksack of the cross. Give it to him. You know, you're not meant to carry around everything. Some things are meant to be shared. That load needs to be, again, the cross is meant to give you a place to put the weight of this thing called life, which can absolutely be crushing. And if you don't take that time, if you don't find Jonathans in your life, those men around you, you try to go on a solo, you're doing a fatal task, right? You can't run through this life by yourself. And we've seen so many guys burn themselves out and to lead to some problems, right? So take up the cross, because Jesus says his burden is easy and his yoke is light, right? He's wanting to take that load from you and equip yourself every day from the start.
You hit the nail on the head. I love this. You got to equip yourself from the start. And we talk about the sword, you know, and we talk about, you know, getting in the word. If you don't do that, then you're absolutely subject to people going, you know what? Put this in your rucksack. Hey, this latest TikTok trend, this is great. Do this. This is how people eat Tide Pods. You know? Yeah. And whoever thought that up, whoever followed it, I have no
idea. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it does, right?
Yeah.
You have to get in there. And I love the fact that the Bible says it's iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
When you don't know, it doesn't say get with a sharper piece of iron. It just says get with iron.
Yeah.
You guys will come together. The Bible says where two or more you're gathered, there I am. Right?
Yeah.
And that's important, because I love how you said the threat is out there. It's looking for you. It could be outside. It could be inside.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm going to say this. Absolutely, my wife will hear this later. So, but remembering Job, of everybody that Satan took from Job, he left his wife.
Yeah.
Okay, that can be a venue for Satan to come in, and that's why it's super important for you as a family to come together. You know what? A friend of mine, Tyson, and I were talking, and he and his wife do devotionals together.
Yeah, that's good.
They do one together. I love it. They share a common ground in the Word. Not only that, but you agree in your life and how you deal with one another what the operating rules are. Yeah. Well, this is what Scripture said. It's not what Jason said, not what anyone else said.
Yeah.
Right? That's got to be in your rucksack.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got to go in there first. You know, I thought about how you pack a rucksack. Colby, we one time, my class was in trouble, and so we had to have a certain amount of poundage in the rucksack. We were getting up at like 4 a.m. We were just exercising for hours, and we had this cadre who could ruck for forever. He's part Samoan,
yeah.
Right? Love that guy to death, and was a big mentor. But he could. And so as young SF medics, you know, we're always up late studying, and then we have to be there. And at some point on this rucksack, we change rucks. And it is to enforce good packing. And for whatever reason, I grabbed this guy's rucksack, and as I shouldered it, as you know, picked it up one arm and I was trying to shoulder it, it spun me around. Let me tell you what happened. I cannot make this up.
Yeah.
It almost killed me. The guy had calculated out how many gallons of water it took to equal that weight. And so he had put several trash bags in his rucksack and just filled it with water from the shower. It was horrible, right? It was a rucksack disaster.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when you get ready in the mornings, and it should be some, you gotta have a Christ-centered life. You gotta know what goes in there first. You gotta be smart.
Yeah.
You know, the adversary's smart. He's had a long time to see things.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think about what you said, and I want to encourage the guys as we're drawing up and winding up, you know, our episode is, you know, I think about some of the conversations we had this past week, you know, reaching out to each other. And it was only a couple because it was a challenging week for both of us. But what I have found is I don't think sometimes for Christian men, especially, they're willing to, in their own way, to bring certain things to the cross, right? Whether it's prayer or out of desperation, they'll go to Christ, right? But they'll get there. But the problem is, oftentimes they're looking for the Lord to pick up and call them on the cell phone and tell them what to do next. And he's saying, well, I gave you that guy that crossed your path at work. I gave you that guy that, you know, is a friend to help shoulder that load with that Jonathan. So I want to encourage guys to, you know, you need to have someone, and I'm lucky I have Jason and a couple other, you know, folks in my life that, you know, I can go to, and it's no judgment. There's vulnerability. There's someone that's there to say, hey, this is what's going on with me. And they can provide, you know, that biblical, that Christ-centered kind of approach to getting through things. And that's what I want to encourage you with. When you put on that rucksack, right, with Jason talking about equal loading, you know, you need another guy there to help you say, hey, man, your load is a little off, right? Like you're carrying around water and trash bags when that's not what we need right now, right? You need to get back to the cross or whatever the case may be. So I want to encourage you to have that. Find the Jonathan in your life. Find that friend that's going to pour life into you and to help you go through this really rough thing that's called the human experience in life here on this planet and this sin-cursed world.
Yeah, you're going to figure it out, right? You're going to make mistakes. But I think keeping with the basics, I love the choice overload concept article I was reading, and it absolutely, you have too many choices. We do. I think there was a Robin Williams movie years ago when he shows up, he's from, you know, he's portraying a character from the Soviet Union, and he shows up and he kind of passes out when he sees the coffee aisle in America. And he's like, you have too many choices. In the Soviet Union, it's either there or it's not there. I think when you look at how do I deal with the problems of this world, as I set up to do battle as a Christian, right? Someone is, if you don't believe that adversary is there to discredit you, you're wrong.
Yeah.
He is. And with that being said, you know, a prophet has no honor in his own home. So think about it, right? So that's really where you got to study it.
Yeah.
But As you think about that, too many choices means no choice. You know, the paralysis by analysis.
Yeah.
Figure out what you have to have. Put it in first, and the rest will follow. That's it. Get a good relationship with Jesus, and the rest will follow in line.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Yeah, so, no, I love it. Plain and simple, straight to the point. Well, folks, that is episode one of season two. So grateful for this kind of thought. Again, we said it so many times through season one, and we were like, hey, you know what? Let's talk about what we mean by that rucksack and carrying around what's meant to be carried around and sharing the load with Jesus, which is what he wants us to do as we walk with him through life. So every episode of The Jonathan Project will be streamed every Tuesday at some of your favorite places, whether that's Apple, Spotify, YouTube Music, Pandora, iHeartRadio, you name it. And we're putting our faces out there. We're doing video. So that will be on YouTube. So I will provide the link to everyone out there. But if you go to Christian Warrior Fiction on YouTube, you can find it. And that's where you will be able to see, at least initially, until we can figure out what we're going to do as far as a hosting platform. That's where you're going to find us, right? So again, Christian Warrior Fiction on YouTube. And you can see the video of this podcast every Tuesday. That's where you're going to find us. So, Jason, we've done it. We're into season two. We're off and running. It's so good to spend some time with you. And I look forward to going through this season and bringing on some guests here in the next couple of weeks.
No, absolutely.
So, all right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you again next Tuesday. Talk to you later, buddy.
See ya. We'll be right back.